From Greenville, South Carolina, we present Let the Bible Speak. Let the Bible Speak is the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, preaching Christ in all His fullness.
Thank you for joining us for another broadcast of Let the Bible Speak, featuring the recorded messages of Dr. Alan Cairns, Minister Emeritus of Faith Free Presbyterian Church in Greenville, South Carolina. On today's program, Dr. Cairns continues this series in Paul's Epistle to the Colossians. This book sets forth the glorious person and work of the Lord Jesus Christ in a manner designed to increase the believer's love for the Savior and to provide guidance in living the Christian life. Prior to the message by Dr. Cairns, we'll have a devotional thought from the pen of the great 19th century English preacher C.H. Spurgeon, as well as some Christ-honoring sacred music.
This morning's text is found in Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 14. The earnest of our inheritance. Oh, what enlightenment, what joys, what consolation, what delight of heart is experienced by that man who has learned to feed on Jesus and on Jesus alone. Yet the realization which we have of Christ's preciousness is, in this life, imperfect at the best. As an old writer says, 'tis but a taste. We have tasted that the Lord is gracious, but we do not yet know how good and gracious He is, although what we know of His sweetness makes us long for more. We have enjoyed the first fruits of the Spirit, and they have set us hungering and thirsting for the fullness of the heavenly vintage. We groan within ourselves, waiting for the adoption. Here we are like Israel in the wilderness, who had but one cluster from Eshcol. There we shall be in the vineyard. Here we see the manna falling small, like coriander seed. But there shall we eat the bread of heaven and the old corn of the kingdom. We are but beginners now in spiritual education, for although we have learned the first letters of the alphabet, we cannot read words yet, much less can we put sentences together. But as one says, he that has been in heaven but 5 minutes knows more than the general assembly of divines on earth. We have many ungratified desires at present, but soon every wish shall be satisfied, and all our power shall find the sweetest employment in that eternal world of joy. O Christian, antedate heaven for a few years. Within a very little time thou shalt be rid of all thy trials and thy troubles. Thine eyes, now suffused with tears, shall weep no longer. Thou shalt gaze in ineffable rapture upon the splendor of Him who sits upon the throne. Nay more, upon His throne shalt thou sit. The triumph of His glory shall be shared by thee. His crown, His joy, His paradise, these shall be thine. And thou shalt be co-heir with Him who is the heir of all things.
Thank you.
Every so often here on Let the Bible Speak, we've made mention of Q&A with Alan Cairns. These are video clips of Dr. Cairns giving biblical answers to a variety of questions. These include, why did Christ have to become a man? Why does a good God allow suffering? Or, what is the unpardonable sin? In all, Dr. Cairns responds to over 50 such concerns. All of these video clips are available on the ltbsradio.com website. But in addition, we're happy to be able to provide you, free of charge, a DVD containing all of these video portions, about 5 hours of guidance from God's Word for problems which face the 21st century Christian. You may have a copy simply by requesting it. Just ask for the DVD Q&A with Alan Cairns. You may email us at info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. You may call us toll-free at 866-877-LTBS. That's 866-877-5827. If you wish, you may write us at Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. Again, that's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. Here's an excellent way to provide scriptural answers to family and friends regarding the challenging questions facing believers in this day. As he continues a series of studies in Paul's epistle to the Colossians, Dr. Cairns brings the next portion of a two-part message entitled, A Faithful and a Fruitful Ministry. The text is found in chapter 1, verses 24 through 29, where the apostle set forth the essence of the gospel ministry. In expounding this passage, Dr. Cairns explained the pattern of the Christian ministry, which is Christ. To be effective, a minister must treat his people as Christ would. Then, the price of the ministry. Even a cursory reading of Paul's ministry reveals that he suffered greatly in his efforts to get the gospel to as many people as he could. Dr. Cairns has emphasized the power of the gospel ministry. A true minister of Jesus Christ will know the power of God upon his ministry. But many seem more interested in building big churches than in leading sinners to a true saving experience of Christ. And now, with today's message, here is Dr. Alan Cairns.
Jonathan Edwards lost his pulpit after revival because he wanted to keep the church pure from people who wanted wickedness, worldliness, and church membership at the same time. And the rich families of New England didn't agree with them. They'd rather damn their children under the cloak of empty religious profession than have Edward's view of religion. Now his so many greats, I forget, three of them I think, granddaughter, is using his name and using his ministry among the American Indians as an excuse for her promotion to permit practicing sodomites to be practicing ministers of the Presbyterian Church USA. And she uses Jonathan Edwards' name to tell us he did the equivalent. He said that the Indians were good and godly people, used nice language about them, at a time when other people called them savages. You know, if I were an Indian, I would be highly incensed at her so-called liberalism, which is a slap in the face to any American Indian. But we'll not go into that. All I'm saying to you is this, that Paul looked at these people and said, they're not, no matter how they want into the church, they can't be saved as long as they hang on to those sins. And he named sodomy particularly among them. But then he says, such were some of you. But what a difference. You're washed. You've been washed from all these sins. You're sanctified. You're set apart from all these sins. You're justified, freed from all guilt, and invested with the righteous merits of your Redeemer, Jesus Christ. This is the kind of ministry Paul had. But as he looked out in these churches with all these wondrous cases of conversion, yet he bore the care. They were under constant attack. Many of them, like the Corinthians, were tripping up and falling. There was division in the church. There were false ministers coming into the church. There were false doctrines attacking the church. The state was against the church. And there he was, with the care of all the churches. The agony of the saints' halting progress. He says he travailed in pain until Christ would be fully formed in them. He had a constant spiritual battle in prayer. We so often think of Paul always living in such liberty that prayer would be for him like just mounting on angelic wings and soaring always into wondrous experiences in heavenlies. No doubt often it was like that. But he says, strive together with me in your prayers to God for me. There were times when Paul was in prayer and it was a close combat wrestling match. He was striving, he was wrestling, he was battling, he was agonizing, to use his word. Prayer for Paul was an agony. He could not sit back as a minister and say, oh Lord, bless the Colossian church. Couldn't do that. May God forgive me and every minister I know. We know so little of that agony. He couldn't simply say, oh God, do good to those people. No, he entered in with an agony that was spiritual. As all the assaults of the enemy came upon the body of the believers, they came upon the body and the soul of this great minister of the gospel. The constant motif of his life and ministry was one of sacrifice and suffering. He says, I've suffered the loss of all things for Christ. He suffered pain. And ultimately, he suffered death. He said, I bear in my body the marks. They may be the marks of a slave. He bore those marks. They were the marks of a soldier. He bore the wounds of the battlefield. He was no armchair general. He suffered it all for Christ's sake. Ah, but listen, I want you to get this. Not just for Christ's sake, but for Christ's sake, as that is demonstrated in Christ's body. What I'm telling you is this. Now listen up very carefully. I know that America is the country of the independents and the mavericks, and you can do it your way, but this is God's way. You, unless in most extraordinary circumstances which do not apply to us, you cannot serve Christ without regard to serving His body, which is His church. You can't do it. I have, had we time, I could go a long way down that road. You cannot be in submission to Christ without being part of the submissive body of Christ. In other words, the Church of Christ is not a human invention. It's not some social club that men have designed according to their own notions, for their own purposes. This is something that God's Christ has died for, has established, and has set up. And Paul said, I'm willing to sacrifice and suffer for it. And that's how we all ought to serve the body of Jesus Christ. It's how our Master served it. And as He Himself said in Matthew 10:24, the disciple is not above his master, nor the servant above his Lord. And this is not just a message for me and David Braham as pastors and these other young men who are candidates or students for the ministry. It's not just for us. It's not just for the elders of the church. Oh, it is for all those I've mentioned. But this is for you, if you would serve Christ. Here's the price. I'm calling you to sacrifice and suffering for service. I'm calling you as a Christian to get out of your comfort zone and stop making God's work and God's church a mere add-on to life. Something you take or leave. Something you lift or drop at your whim. I'm saying this is the pattern is Christ. And the price is total self-surrender, self-sacrifice, even taking up the leftover afflictions of Christ, being willing, whatever it costs, to serve Him in and through serving His body, which is His church. In verse 29, Paul speaks of the power of such a ministry. He says, whereunto I also labor, striving according to His working, which worketh in me mightily. Now that's the other side of the coin. The first side was His physical weakness and suffering, His agony, His self-sacrifice. But now here's the other side. He says, as I serve Christ in this way, He is working in me mightily. And I want you to understand this, that this is the only power by which the gospel of Jesus Christ and the church of Jesus Christ can succeed. Let us once and for all eschew the marketing techniques for church growth. I know that big is always better. I'm always sort of used to this now, but when I came to the United States at first, I was amazed when I would go into some small town, some country town, that really hadn't been heard of outside the little segment of the state in which it happened to be located. And there you would have a name like this, Car World. And then you would say, it's just the world. And here you have the biggest of whatever this is, maybe the biggest number of cars, maybe the, I don't know what it is, in the world. Now, in that little spot in the landscape, I had no idea what that big world is like out there. It's a wee bit like it was in Northern Ireland when I was growing up. When you grow up in a country the size of a postage stamp, you tend to think that the world ends at your borders. And we had notions as I was growing up, oh, this is the biggest thing in all the world, and the greatest thing, and the most important thing in all the world. And then I got outside of Northern Ireland for a little while, and I realized, you know, despite all that the press has been doing to give us a bad name around the world, 95% of the world doesn't even know we exist. Bigness, I know, is thought to be greatness. There's a day coming, you know. This is a scary thing for a preacher, whether his church is big or small. You get all this great church growth movement, they're going to stand before God. I'm thinking of the words of one of the most famous and successful pastors in 20th century America. And I haven't forgotten the century I'm in. That was his century. He said, and he looked at his vast church. He's talking about his church members now. The people he had baptized and brought into the church. And he estimated that 80% or more were unconverted. But they were baptized, they were in the denomination, they were in the local church, they were in office, they were in it all. They were Christians. But he reckoned 80% or more were unconverted.
You've been listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. We hope you've enjoyed and benefited from today's program. We're here as your servants for Christ's sake. If we can be of any further help to you in the things of the Lord, we invite you to contact us. If you would like to receive our booklet, Separated Unto the Gospel, a booklet that sets forth the beliefs and standards of the Free Presbyterian Church, you may have a copy free of charge, simply for the asking. Our mailing address is Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. Our email address is info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. If you would like to learn more about the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, or if you'd like to see if there is a free church in your area, We invite you to visit our website, www.fpcna.org. That's www.fpcna.org. On behalf of Dr. Alan Cairns, this is Charles Kelch saying thank you for listening and inviting you to join us again as we let the Bible speak.